So I got this sermon together, this study together with a young couple that actually used to attend Fairborn, and it's kind of more geared towards a it's kind of more geared towards maybe newer people that have interest in religion or in Christianity in general. But I still think there's some great takeaways from it for us Christians as well. And starting off with Matthew 7, if you want to turn over there real quickly, Matthew chapter 7. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." And of course, we read that passage a little bit ago in our last segment of our sermon this morning. So what I want to talk about this morning is we got to be careful. Don't always believe in what you hear. We live in a very confusing religious society today, right? No matter what denomination, no matter even within the Lord's church that you look at, non-denominational, denominational, Church of Christ, non-Church of Christ, and as I mentioned, even in the Church of Christ today, you hear all sorts of different belief systems, all sorts of different ways of looking at the Bible. We even opening up a commentary. You can take the exact same subject, open up five different commentaries, and have five different commentators tell you that it means five separate things. And so it's so important that we make sure when the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation, that we're taking things in stride. That we're not just believing because we're mesmerized by the preacher or by the PowerPoint charts or pyrotechnics that are in some of these religious sects and organizations today. We have to make sure that what we hear is what is truly in the Word of God. And that's why I say all the time, don't take Brock Begley's word for it. I don't want my name, unless it's associated with me standing before Christ in Judgment Day, I don't want my name heard in any other Judgment Day scenarios, right? I don't want somebody to say, that's what I heard Brock say, or that's what Brock preached, or that's what I saw Brock practice in his life. Unfortunately, I think, especially from a denominational standpoint, you're going to hear a lot of folks say that. You know, the big wigs in religious communities today, the Joel Osteens and stuff, I honestly and sincerely believe his name will come up in Judgment Day because that's what so many people are kind of flocking to. And I've said this over and over and over again. I believe Joel Osteen is a great, great motivational speaker. He rouses you up and gets you ready, and you're ready to go into the boxing ring and get it going, right? But when it comes from a religious perspective, so many times, if you watch him, he'll say, "Scripture say, Scripture say, Scripture say," without ever giving a book, chapter, and verse. And so we have to be careful what we hear, and don't always believe in what you hear. Kyle might have seen this next chart before. Amber showed this to me, but there was a big conference, and this has been a couple of years ago, but I don't even know what the conference was. But they brought Air Force Research Labs, which is where I work, brought up this PowerPoint chart. And it's kind of might be a little bit difficult to see and read under there, but the New York Times, in October 9th of 1903, came out and said, "The flying machine, which will really fly, might be evolved by the combined and the continuous efforts of mathematicians and mechanics from 1 million to 10 million years." On that exact same day, Orville Wright wrote in his diary, October 9th, 1903, "We started assembly today." Don't always believe in what you hear. People are saying, "Oh, it's going to be developed 1 million to 10 million years from now." And the Wright brothers, which is the founding fathers, if you will, of aviation, said, "We started work on it today. We started assemblies today." I'm a big sports fan. I love sports. And one of my favorite players on the Celtics back in about 2008, 2009, 2010 time frame was a guy by the name of Ray Allen. He's holds the record, NBA record, for the most three-pointers shot all time. Not just in any single season, but in all time. Well, they're about 4 or 5 years ago now, he was contemplating a comeback. And so the New York Daily Press came out on October the 3rd of 2015, and they said, sources say that Ray Allen will be making a return to the NBA this season, the New York Daily Press once said. Again, on August the 3rd of 2013. Ray Allen then went on Twitter to say, I am not making any kind of comeback. I am staying retired. So I bring up these points to illustrate what happens in Christianity today, in religion today as well. These same types of scenarios are happening in religion today. Friends, unfortunately, these same types of scenarios are happening in the Lord's church today, where you hear one thing, but the truth is really and truly something completely different. And so again, it is important for us to make sure that we are opening up scriptures, that we are studying to show ourselves approved, that we are not just taking any man, any woman's word for what they are saying from a religious perspective. I appreciate the trust that this congregation has had in me for, I think it's almost been 2 years now I've been coming. It was just crazy. Time's just absolutely flying by. A year and a half, 2 years or so. I sincerely appreciate the trust. But I hope and pray all of you guys, and I see a lot of you doing this already, are taking notes, are opening up your Bibles, are making sure that you are keeping me in line with what I'm doing. I'm very passionate about these things because all these things that I talk about are things that I have either A, struggled with, or B, things that have really been applicable to my life, that I've seen invested in my life and done wonderful things in my life. And that's why I love ministry, and that's why I'm extremely passionate about it. But I don't, again, want anybody to say, well, Brock Begley said, or, and Brother and Sister Lamb might know this as well, but even after both of my grandfathers have died, I cannot tell you how many times to this day people will say, well, that's what Brother Holcomb taught. Well, that's what Brother Begley taught. Good for them. You know, I love my family, but that's what they taught. What do we see in scriptures? What do we see in the Bible? And I hope and pray that, you know, 100% of what they taught was in the scriptures, but just that very sentence, that very phrase, that's what they taught, should not be coming out of any Christian's mouth today. Both of them are gone. All of our maybe favorite preachers, the elderly preachers that are no longer here anymore, that's what they taught. We have them on CD, and sister back there was telling me about a cassette tape, which I don't know what that is anymore, but we have them on cassette tapes and CDs and stuff like that, and you know, and that's great to hear those things, but we have to be careful and making sure that we don't just believe in everything that we hear. From an introductory standpoint from this, you know, lies and deception are all around us. Every single place that we turn, whether it's religious speaking of or not, lies and deception are everywhere. No matter where you go. There's even like the Ripley's, believe it or not, down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I don't know if you've ever seen those or not, or gone to those places, but you know, they'll create these illusions, right? So that what you see is not really what is there, kind of a thing. And there's other things like that as well. The local national news. I can't stand the news. I'm not a 5 o'clock person. I'm not a 5:30 newscast person. I'll ever so often turn it on there if I know somebody's going to be on there or something. But outside of that, I mean, it's 99% bad news, 99% bad things. You know, even in sports, you know, there'll be something terrible or wrong, especially if we're talking about, you know, Cincinnati Bengals and stuff like that these days. But the local national news has gone from a credible informational source to posting nothing but political agendas, right? You have supposedly, you have the CNNs of the world that are supposed to be the left-wing liberal media. You have the Fox News Channel that's supposed to be the right-wing guys, and they're both, you know, conflicting each other. You turn on one source and it says one thing. You turn on another channel, it says something completely different. And so you think to yourself, what is the truth anymore? It's very difficult to know what is taking place in today's society. But unfortunately, this cannot be escaped in the religious world, in the religious community these days. Many men of God have their own agendas in teaching and spreading God's message. I honestly believe, this is just Brock Begley's opinion, don't take this any further than that. I honestly believe in the Church of Christ today we have men and preachers that do this for the money and for the money alone. Now, I'm not saying I don't support preaching. I mean, the Bible's very strict when it comes to those kind of things. But there's what I call church hoppers, right? They'll go from church to church to church, however they can get the most money, wherever they can find the most people. And that's what they do, and that's where they go. and just people that I've talked to, people that I have witnessed firsthand, I honestly and sincerely believe that there are people in the Lord's church today that have that mentality, that have that mindset. I'm going to go where there's the most people, and I'm going to go where there's the most money. Now, again, that's just my own personal opinion on that, on a situation like that. I also understand that people have to take care of their families, and people have to, you know, watch out for their betterment as well. But also, the Bible tells us there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's not talking about people necessarily outside of the Lord's church. It's talking about everywhere. There are many wolves in sheep's clothing. So then, how can we tell, and what do we do? Again, this was a study that I did with some very young people that were not even Christians, had not yet obeyed the gospel, but they just said, you know, my Catholic friend says this, my Baptist coworker says that, you're telling me this, who am I supposed to believe? And that's actually a very, very good question when you especially kind of take a step back and think about putting yourself in their shoes, right? So we turn over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 15, which we already kind of talked about. But it says here, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? So we see here, we are to watch out. We are to beware of these false prophets. He has given us, as Cody mentioned in our study this morning, He has given us that warning sign. Watch out for these guys. They are out there. They are running rampant. Sometimes they're in packs. Sometimes they're as individuals. We have to be careful. We have to watch out for them. How are we going to be able to distinguish them from those that are right-minded, those that are doing things justly for the cause of Jesus Christ? He says, you will know them by their fruits. You will know how they interact with other people. You will know how they treat people. You will know how, if they're loving people, which we talked about in our first segment, if they're loving people as much as they should, if they're putting other people down, if they're degrading others, as Cody talked about again, if they're casting out that judgment stone that does not belong to us, that belongs to God. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? You answer that, he asks, or he makes statements. So, the best way to try to understand them is to try to understand their hidden agendas. There's a lot of hidden agendas in ministry. There's a lot of hidden agendas in Christianity. What about the fame? What about the power? And we've already kind of talked about, what about the money as well? I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he was just on Extra or 60 Minutes, one of those shows not too long ago. And an interviewer walked up to him. He was getting in this nice luxury sedan, and he had just bought an $18 to $20 million jet. And he talked about how that if Christ was here today, he wouldn't be riding around on no camel. He'd be on a nice luxury jet sitting first class. And he says, I can't do the work that Christ wants me to do sitting in coach. He said, I need to have my own personal airspace so that in the drop of a hat, anytime if I need to go anywhere throughout the world, I can go just like that. $20 million. And then, at the end of the Extra show, or whatever it was, they showed a clip of him doing a sermon at the very next Sunday. And he starts blasting this reporter that was questioning him, all this kind of stuff, and called her essentially a false prophet. That's the religious community today. And people are flooding to people like that by the millions. Kanye West just happened to be at Joel Osteen's service, if you will. What was it, last weekend? Weekend before? I think it was some 40,000 people ended up going to that assembly. 40-some thousand people were there listening to Kanye West. Now, again, I'm not trying to be Mr. Judge. I just talked about that's not our goal. But you know, there are a lot of questionable things that come to my mind when I think about somebody in a situation like that. But we also know what the Bible has to say, right? A man's heart is not always in the right place. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. It says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Dating back to talking about Kanye West, I don't know if you've seen one of his traditional worship services, but it's a concert venue, right? It's a concert venue. And so many times it's so sad when people go to these organizations that they are truly putting their heart and passion into, and they call it a worship service. And my message to them is the same message that I've always mentioned, is what's the difference between that and going to a Billy Joel concert, right? Or a concert of one of your favorite musicians or something. And the truth of the matter is, there is none. There is none whatsoever. And so we have to make sure that our heart is where it needs to be at all times. And not doing things for the political statements, for the power, for the fame, for the money, or anything along those lines. And so understanding that, in order for me to really kind of distinguish between what's right and what's wrong and not always believing what I hear, I've got to understand what true worship is, right? Define what is my true purpose of worship. Why am I going to worship? That's a question I have to answer within myself all the time. Why am I in ministry? You know, as a young person, I struggled with that because I wanted to be a song leader. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a teacher. I didn't want to do any of those kind of things. I wanted to be a song leader and a song leader only. But as I got older and started realizing just how beneficial that it could be, not only for myself, but for the other people around us, and having the connection that I had with young people, and even people that are my age now, you know, we live in a very entirely different world than we did even 10 years ago. And I've kind of grown up in it. So I understand the struggles. I understand the pain and the trials and tribulation that so many of us are going through. And I want to talk about those things. I think the only way that we can overcome and conquer those fears that we are facing every single day is to communicate them and to talk about them. And so I thought to myself, you know, what better person to start talking about this than me? And my struggles and the trials and temptations that I personally go through. So why then do I go to a worship service? Why is it that I decided to go to that specific congregation? Is it because I want to be, entertained? I've heard, and these are things, excerpts that I've actually heard people say, where they'll make statements like, it's a great church and all, but their praise and worship band is horrible. Really good neighbor of my parents, and they've kind of been grandparents to me my entire life, but they stopped going to a church because their favorite banjo player left. And now they went somewhere else. This was 20-some years ago, but I remember that conversation like it was yesterday. I thought, oh man, come on. I'm 15 and I can recognize that. Their praise and their worship band is horrible. What about, their congregation is too big, their congregation is too small. I want to go somewhere where my children can grow and benefit the best way they possibly can. I don't care about what they teach. I don't care about the spirit and the truth part. But if they have a good, solid foundation of young people, that's where I want to take my kids. They put on one of the coolest Christmas plays and productions I've ever seen. People have legitimately told me this when I've asked, why do you go there? It's sad that that's where our society is today. And again, that's what they've heard. They haven't heard spirit and truth. They haven't heard what the Bible teaches. They've heard where the people are, where the productions are, where the pyrotechnics and the cool flashy lights and where the kids' programs are and stuff like that. That's what they hear. That's all they care about. What about it's where Bible-based truth is taught? What about I hear the ministers use Bible to back up their thoughts and to back up their sermons? It's not like like I've said, Mr. Osteen's of the world that just say, well, Scripture says, without ever giving what those Scriptures are. I actually follow him on Facebook, and I follow him for the main purpose of seeing all the comments that people leave. Oh, amen, Pastor Osteen, and stuff like that. And ever so often, I'll drop a comment on there. And I dropped one on there probably 2 or 3 months ago, and I said, does anybody ever question why he never uses a Bible book, chapter, and verse? He just tells you that's what it says. And I had like 15, 16 people like it. Just like it, love it, or whatever it is. You know, at least acknowledged it. So I wanted to put that little bud or bird in their ear, so to speak, right? And want people to say, hey, think about this. Think about what you're listening to, who's saying this, and what he's saying. You know, I think that's, as a Christian, that's kind of our job. What about, I'll go there because the members genuinely want to help me succeed and are after my best interests. That's a great, great group of people. And we all have commonalities. And that first commonality is, it's where the Bible is taught, and it's Bible-based. That's funny, though. No matter what website you look on now these days of congregations, every single one of them are, we are a Bible-based taught organization. We are a Bible-based church. Yeah, that's where we have to question. Are you really? And then what about, I know it's a place where Christ's presence is among the people. We see Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, he says, "For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." I don't know about you, but where Christ is, that's where I want to be. We have these big presidential elections coming up and everything, and all these different rallies, people just flock by the thousands to go where, you know, the so-called candidate or the President of the United States is going to be. Would people do that today if Jesus was here? The one that Cody talked about in our Lord's Table segment this morning? The one that was crucified for us, watching our sins being nailed to that cross? I dare say President Trump, Obama, Clinton, whatever, would have much more of a following than Jesus Christ ever would here today, unfortunately. But again, he gives us that caution. We know that distractions, they come in all different shapes and all different sizes in today's society. One common temptation is to think that we are too busy right now, right? There's one of those excuses we talked about this morning with something more pressing, and always find time later to read the Bible or have a Bible study. I said the best example I know is myself, and so I'll use this. There was a time when Amber and I were so swamped, we were so busy with life, you know, and having kids, you learn on the fly. And I think all of us know that if I have kids, there's not a perfect Parent for Dummies book out there or anything, that you learn on the fly. There was a time where we just stopped communicating. We didn't know how each other's work was going or anything along those lines. And then it's been past couple of years. We sat down one night and we turned the TV off. We put our phones down. We said, "So how's life going? How's work? How are you doing at work? You know, what's new?" And so now my favorite time throughout the week is when both of us, and we do it at least twice a week, we put our phones down, we turn the TV off after the kids go to bed, and we just sit there and talk. And we communicate, and we talk a lot about spiritual things and how we're struggling spiritually, or areas where we were struggling, now we're getting better with, and so on and so forth. And we just open those lines of communication, and they are so, so important. I'm not up here trying to be Dr. Phil or anything this morning, but those lines of communication with spouse, with friendships, with fellow Christians, with anybody is so, so important. Acts chapter 24 and in verse 25 says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you.'" When it's convenient for me, we allow selfish ambitions to interject themselves in our lives, and it cripples us spiritually, cripples us emotionally, and when all those things start crashing down, then we start getting crippled physically. It's not about what's convenient for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's about what do we need to do for God. You think Jesus Christ said that? Hey, God, it's not convenient for me to have a crown of thorns on my head or to be beaten literally to death. It's not convenient for those things. But what did he say? "If it is your will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done." Thy will be done. What about false prophets that he continues to try to warn us against? We've already talked about them in pretty good detail this morning, but Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'There,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Verse 25 says, "Behold, I have told you before." Are there these people that we're talking about that fit this description in the Lord's church today? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've got to be careful, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to watch out for these folks, brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says they would deceive even the very elect. The people that you think there's no way they could be deceived. Yeah, they can. And they are. And he says, "If any man shall say, 'Lo, here is Christ,'" you know, somebody that puffs themselves up, he says, watch out. 1 John chapter 4, the first three verses there, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, even the spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. I tell you, the people that flock to the so-called Pope these days is mesmerizing. Mesmerizing. How on earth we can't read scriptures like this, and God gives us that warning sign as a society, and we flock right to the guy. Or men like him. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. He's talking about prophets there, but are there people like that in today's society, in today's church? You better believe it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there also shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, and even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I went to a funeral of a very good friend of mine about 4 years ago. It was at the Vineyard Church, what they call it, over in Beaver Creek off of 35, right by the green. And I went to a very good friend of mine growing up, went to her funeral. And I walked in to this church, giant Starbucks sitting right there in front of my face. Thought to myself, my goodness, I'm missing something, right? It's sad to see our society be what it is spiritually. It really and truly is. But the point, bottom line of this message here this morning is, don't always believe what you hear. Try these spirits, the Bible says. Watch out for these spirits. Try them. Question them. Even people question me. If I've ever said anything and done anything or had a wrong verse up here, and some of you have pointed that out to me, and I've loved you for it, so it doesn't make me look like a fool next time I deliver that sermon. If I've said anything, if I've done anything, if I've wronged anyone, I want to know these things. I don't want to go throughout my life with that hanging over my head or people having a bad or wrong impression of me. I need to know. It's my job to know so that I can correct and be better than I was, that I can be better tomorrow than I was the previous day. So don't always believe in what you hear. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, and try these spirits. Try those folks that are trying to win you over in some way, shape, or form. We love you. We appreciate you so much. I'm not a preacher that really does a lot of preaching on this particular holiday coming up or anything like that. I have in the past, but don't always. But I hope and pray all of us have a very happy Thanksgiving. And be thankful for the things that you have in your life, and not always coveting after the things that you don't. It's easy to say and do, but enjoy this time, hopefully off of work, with family, with your mom and dad, with your spouse, with your kids, with neighbors, anybody that you can be with. Just enjoy the time. This is a time to relax, take a deep breath, and hope and pray that we can continue to refresh our spirits, refresh ourselves, and continue working for the Lord. If we can help you or assist you in any way through baptism for the remission of your sins, or if you are a Christian and have done things that are contrary to the will of God, and we can help you with that, please let us know while together we stand and sing. Thank you.